Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers. Welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
And I'm Mark Martin. We're glad you're with us this evening. You can catch us here on New Visions Radio every week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Every week I do that, Rick. Right here on New Visions Radio.
Our regular listeners just wait for you to mess up on that. I'm sure they do.
They do. I don't write down. I need to write some notes. But we're here every Sunday evening. We're glad you're here. And, Rick, it's really glad. I'm glad to have you back.
Good to be back in the studio, to be able to open our Bibles again. You know, it's springtime here in Virginia, and the weather is beautiful. We'd love to have you stop by and see us at the Prophecies of Hope Church. We're at 1743 West Beverly Street in Stanton, Virginia. On Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have an open Bible study. You could walk in and say, look, I have a question about this particular part of the Bible or this particular text. And you know what? If somebody needs help like that, we'll just open our Bibles and compare Scripture with Scripture and see what God has to say on that particular subject. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, we would. We try to do that with every topic at every study, whether it's here on the air or whether it's at our Sabbath school that we have every week on Saturday morning.
Yep, Saturday morning at 9:30. Mm-hmm. We have more of a structured study where there's one topic we like to stick to. And then at 11 o'clock, it's not really a traditional worship service. I think it's a toned-down worship service. It's very simple, with simple music. We don't let the music dominate our worship to our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And the worship centers around God's Word and the message, some type of talk or sermon, by, you know, either you or Ed or myself, or sometimes we have a guest speaker.
That's right.
And you're welcome to join us for that also.
In fact, if you go to our website, prophecyhope.com, you can stream live. If you can't join us, you can stream live right there every Saturday or Sabbath morning. We begin our Sabbath school at 9:30 Eastern Time, and the worship begins at 11 o'clock Eastern Time.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think you would probably enjoy that very much. You get to see some of the folks there. Also, we want to thank Ray Powers at New Visions Radio for giving us the opportunity to broadcast each and every week. He gets these programs set for us, works us in the schedule. If you miss the program live, you can actually listen during the week. He'll rerun those, so you can go to the New Visions Radio website and find
the
schedule.
That's
right.
It's newvisionsradio.com.
Yes. And one last thing before we get started is if you have any questions or prayer requests, or if you'd just like to contact us in general, you can reach me by emailing me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
All right. So I tell you what, we always like to begin by asking God's blessing to be with us in our studies. Were there anything else we needed to talk about?
I think that's it, Mark. We can go ahead and get started.
Go ahead.
Father in heaven, it's a pleasure to be able to address you in prayer. And Father, we have that ability because you've given us your Son as a mediator, because we understand you are the one true living, holy God of the universe, revealed in Scripture. And you've given us your Son so that we may come close to you, even though we are sinful. Father, we ask and pray that you be with us today as we open your Word. Be with our listeners. Bless them with your Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Well, Rick, the last couple of weeks I've run a couple of sermons. And in fact, next week we may have to do the same thing because you're going to be away.
I am going to be away. You know, my father-in-law passed away last month. Mm-hmm. And we've had one memorial service in Florida for him because my mother
Your stepdad.
My stepfather.
Yes.
Yeah. What did I say?
Father-in-law.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know it's been a busy month for you.
It's been busy. One memorial service in Florida because they were snowbirds, went back and forth, and just another one this last weekend up in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I've learned a lot about him, things that I didn't know, even though he was my stepfather for more than 30 years.
Yeah, it's neat to go when you, especially when you have friends and family telling you of things that you
That's right.
had never known. It's pretty neat.
That's right. You know, God has tremendously blessed our family because of this man. And we've been praising God for his life now for over a month. And I'm very thankful for those things.
Amen.
But Mark, what did we decide to do today's program on?
Well, you know, when we got here in the studio this evening, you were talking about an article that you had read.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought if you could just share that, and then let's spin off of that, and we'll look at a few texts, and we'll get in the book of Galatians this evening.
It's interesting that we were talking about my stepfather, because he sent, I have five other siblings, okay, and he sent each one of us a subscription to a particular magazine. It was a religious magazine. Now, for the most part, the articles in the magazine are very good, very uplifting, and for the most part, they stick to Scripture, except on a few points that I disagree with them on. But, you know, one of the things that I appreciate about this magazine is every month they have a Bible question and answer section on the back few pages. Mm-hmm. And it's good because you can write in or email in and ask a specific Bible question.
Okay.
Well, sometimes they say things that I wouldn't say.
Right.
They have a little bit different understanding on a few issues. And one of them disturbed me a little bit this month. It was a reader wrote in and asked about John 1:1. And most of us are familiar with John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm paraphrasing maybe just a little.
I think that's it.
So they were asking, how can we rectify this? You know, the English, it doesn't translate too well in the English, but essentially what John is trying to tell us is that Jesus is just as divine as the Almighty God, his Father.
Amen.
I mean, that's the point of the text.
Yeah, that's biblical.
That's what John is trying to reveal. In fact, when you read John's gospel, he's trying to reveal that to his readers.
Yeah.
That Jesus has been given all power from his Father, mm-hmm. has been given life itself, life to grant life to you and I from his Father. And to know our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ is really the summation of eternal life. That's John 17:3.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a pretty good job of that. But then they said this, and it's something I can't agree with, that Jesus had to raise himself by his own power so that he could demonstrate that he could raise you and I and anyone else that is righteous at the last day. Now, see, I don't know where they get that from Scripture, Mark.
I can't think of any verse that even indicates that.
So, listeners, Mark and I were talking about this. We want to start a short series on Galatians because it's a short book. And the first verse, Galatians 1:1, says this, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead.
So who raised him from the dead?
God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
That's what it says right here.
Yes.
So, well, let's not just take it on one verse.
Mark, I know you have a plethora of texts, right? I mean, there's a lot of evidence in the New Scripture. I mean, in the New Testament Scripture, that God raised his Son from the dead.
Yes.
You and I firmly believe that Jesus was completely dead, like a deep, deep sleep with no consciousness whatsoever.
Yes. In fact, if anyone has listened to this program in the past, I'm sure you've heard us talk about the state of the dead, that the dead are unaware, that they're unconscious. So if Christ truly died, which in order for him to be the sacrificial Lamb of God, right?
John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, right?
He had to die completely.
Yes.
Otherwise, it wasn't a sacrifice.
And if only, you know, some people try to say that only his human nature died, that he's a blending of divine nature as the divine Son of God, mm-hmm. but he also called himself the Son of Man.
Yeah,
so
he's
fully human and fully divine. Some people like to say that only his human nature died, but that would only be a human sacrifice then.
Right.
I believe he fully gave up his divine nature.
Hmm.
and was able to die at that point.
Yeah, I can't find anything otherwise in Scripture.
Right.
So, and that's the thing. If we believe the Scripture and take it as a whole, we have to believe that Christ died fully and completely, and that the Father, it says, raised him. That's
from
what it
the
says
dead.
Right here.
I mean, over and over and over again in the New Testament.
Yeah. In fact, I'll just, let me just, we don't have to read them, but just for the sake of the listener, Galatians 1:1 was one of these texts. Another one is Colossians 2:12. Another one is 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Hebrews 13:20. I mean, we could go on and on. I've got about 16 or 18 texts right here just written down.
And that's not exhaustive.
No, it's not. There are many more.
So just off the top of our heads, we can come up with 20.
Yes. Yes.
And there's more than that.
So we have to believe that the Father, God the Father, raised his Son, Christ Jesus, from the dead.
Mark, if you don't know, I'll give an answer, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Why is that important? Why? What does it have to do with our salvation? Whether Christ raised himself from the dead or the Father raised him, what difference does it make?
Well, I think, for one thing, it makes all the difference in the world, because when the Father gave his Son, it's just like you giving a son. If you give your son as a sacrifice, you have actually given something that you adore, that you love very much, whether it's your son or your daughter.
That's
one
true.
Of your children.
Yep.
The other thing is, we're calling God a liar if, in fact, he says in Ecclesiastes 9, 5, 6, and 10 that the dead know not anything. We're saying that, well, his son does. So we're saying that there's some kind of spiritualism involved here, which also is deceptive.
That's right.
Now, you may have a number of other reasons.
Well, what about when Jesus, remember, we're coming up on that time of year when people tend to celebrate when Christ rose from the dead.
This is Easter Sunday.
So what happened that night in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was praying. The Bible says he sweat drops of blood. He was so much in pain, having all the sins of the world placed on him, so those could be sacrificed in him on the cross, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is he just play-acting all that? Or because what this magazine seemed to indicate, that he raised himself from the dead. If he knew he was going to raise himself from the dead, what difference does it make?
Well, then he was pretending.
He was pretending. I don't get that at all.
No, I don't either.
You know, God and his son are not liars. No. The Bible says there's no guile found in their mouths. In other words, there's nothing that even comes close to not telling the truth. Not even little white lies, we would say today.
And they're not actors either.
They're not actors.
They don't pretend.
They tell us who they are, and that's who they are.
Yes.
So, I don't know what to say. I'm disturbed by some of these things. The point I'm trying to make to our listeners, Mark, is go to the Bible. Use the Bible as a guide to what men say. If something doesn't sound right, it might not be. Start searching in the Scriptures, and you know, today, you just open your computer and you can search any word, any phrase. You can find out what the Bible says. In 15 minutes, you can find out what the Bible generally says on one particular topic.
It's easily. True. Yeah, you can find it very quickly. I mean, we can just type in a particular word and find out how many times that word occurs in numbers of translations of the Bible.
So there's no excuse. When Jesus tells us that we should be wary that men are going to deceive us, that's the first thing he said to his disciples when they started asking him about the end times.
Right.
There isn't any excuse to let somebody deceive us.
There's not. And I guess that's the whole point. This is why we, as a ministry, study the Scriptures. And, you know, I enjoy sometimes picking up an article, especially if it's a Bible question. In our own newsletters, we have people that will ask questions and we'll answer them in the newsletter.
Right.
So I enjoy those type of things. But to make a statement without any biblical support, this is where we start going wrong.
I know. It's very easy to start going down that road. Everything that we say, we need to be able to back it up according to the Bible when we're teaching anything that has anything to do with religious subjects.
Yeah, that's right. So this book of Galatians, this is the Apostle Paul, who was once a non-believer in Christ. He was a Jew. He was a Jewish lawyer, actually, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Taught at the feet of Gamaliel.
Yeah,
who was
who
was an instructor and a lawyer. And if you know anything about Paul, and which most of you who are tuned in probably do, he was persecuting the Christians. He hated them. So here we have a man that had come from a Jewish background that understood the one true God. He's writing this. He still understands the one true God. And he now recognizes that Christ died and was raised by that one true God, the Father.
Yes.
And that's what he says here in Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, it says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, who raised Christ from the dead.
Pretty simple, isn't it?
It is. It's very simple. So we can continue on and just kind of roll through this and see what we find in the book of Galatians. What do you think?
That sounds great.
Verse 2 says, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. So Paul here is writing this to the congregation there in this particular region of the world.
Yeah, our understanding is that it's this city of Galatia, mm-hmm. and there are Christian brothers that either he has heard about or has met with before, and he's writing them a letter of encouragement.
Yes. You know, I love how consistent Paul is in his... He knows what he believes, and he knows why he believes it.
Yeah, that's true.
He really does, because the very next verse, verse 3, he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he recognizes that there's one God, the Father, and one Lord, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Because didn't he say that somewhere to the Corinthians?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 8, 6. It's funny because, I don't know, you may not catch the humor out there in radio land, but when I look at Mark's face here in the studio, you know, there are things that we have studied over and over and over again, and we keep coming back to those same things, those same understandings, and it's a beautiful thing when God gives us the truth from his word. And that's why I was kind of chuckling there. I could see the look on Mark's face here in the studio. And, you know, we keep going back to those same understandings in the same text because God wants us to know the truth of who he is and who his son is.
And he reveals that over and over and
over. And over
in the Old and New Testament.
Yes, absolutely.
It's very consistent. In fact, let me read that 1 Corinthians 8, 6 that you just told me. I went there. It says, and this is Paul, the same brother that wrote the book of Galatians. He says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Does that have any special meaning to you when you read a text like that?
I think it's very clear. He's telling this to people who are believers in multiple gods. They're right. Essentially idolaters.
Right.
They don't know who the true God, the living God, the true and living God is of the Bible, the creator of all the universe.
They would be called polytheists, wouldn't they? Because they believe in many gods.
That's right. So he's making it very clear that there is one God.
Yes. There is.
And that's the Father of Jesus Christ.
Amen. So here's the thing. If I believe in one God, but I say that I believe in this, which I don't, but if I said that I believed in a triune God, is that one God?
No. No, it isn't. It's actually polytheism.
We're going right back to what Paul is preaching against.
Yes. And this is what the vast majority of Christian theologians teach today.
They do. They do.
And I can't find that in Scripture.
I can't either. So I guess you want to continue on here in verse 4?
Yeah, in Galatians chapter 1. Who, that's talking about Jesus, mm-hmm. gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. My understanding, these first five verses are just a greeting.
Yes.
To these brothers and sisters in Galatia.
Yeah, this is an actual letter that he wrote to these people.
Right.
Under inspiration.
Mm-hmm. So, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What's now, he trying to say there, Mark?
Well, you know, the gospel is, that word means good news. And it seems like there are some who aren't believing the truth of what that gospel is.
So he's really saying the good news that you've been given, now there's some people trying to give you this so-called good news that's not really good news at all.
That's true. It's actually, if it's not what's in Scripture, if it's not what we understand from the Old Testament, which, remember, when Paul was writing this, there was no New Testament. He had only the Old Testament to go on. But he recognized that Christ coming was, this was vital. This, and understanding who Christ was and who the Father was, this is the true gospel to understand what was done and how it happened.
Yes, how we return to a complete and full relationship with the one true and living God by his Son, right?
That's it.
So the next verse is very interesting to me. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So what does your Bible say? It's a little different.
It says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed.
It doesn't matter who it is, he's saying.
That's
if
right.
They don't preach the correct gospel from the Scripture, you know, bad things.
Yeah. And, you know, we might think, well, wait a minute. What do you mean an angel preaching to me? Well, you know, who was it that deceived Eve in the garden?
Well, our understanding is that is Lucifer or Satan, the devil, who was manipulating that serpent in the garden to deceive Eve.
So it was actually an angel that was deceiving her through another media, right?
That's right. And we know from Revelation that all those evil angels have been cast out of heaven and cast to this earth.
Yes.
So maybe that's what he's referring to.
Yeah, and I think really we have to be really careful about these things, because no matter how strong we are in the faith, no matter what we know, no matter how much we've studied, even if we know all of these things that we're talking about and we believe that our faith is firm, the devil, I believe, controls the things for the most part that are on the radio and the television. For the most part.
And not on our computers maybe too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, any media that we see, he has a... He stirs the pot in those things, doesn't he?
He does. And he's very involved in trying to allow you to see things that we shouldn't see and hide things that we should see.
I think you're right.
And this is where we need to always... That's why before we do this program, we always pray and ask for God's direction and his Spirit to be with us during this program. Isn't
yes,
that true?
Yes, that's true.
Because we don't want people to hear what we have to say or what any other form of media has to say, but what God's Word says.
Right.
And I think this is what, you know, of course, I don't think it was as prevalent then as it is today. I think there's so much more pressure today.
I think you're right. There's a lot more ways the devil has at his disposal to get things into our minds through sight and hearing and, you know, that not only that, but if our lifestyle is such that we're eating and drinking things that really break down our bodies, and we're not eating and drinking things, we have a diet and an exercise program maybe that helps us to be strong and healthy, how can we expect that our minds are going to be sharp enough to accept what God says and resist what the devil is trying to get it through to us? With God's help.
And you know, that to some people that might sound kind of silly, but if you talk to any nutritionist, they will tell you that the things that you eat affect your thinking, they affect how you, of course, how you feel, it affects our weight, but it does affect our intellect. What we hear, what we see, it can improve our eyesight, it can improve our hearing, what we eat, it can improve our mind. It really can.
If anybody doubts this, they just need to turn to Daniel chapter 3 and 4 also. You know, that's a very good account of how God used Daniel and the rest of his companions that were captured by the Babylonians to prove that a diet is very instrumental.
Yeah, it's important
to God. In helping us be strong and resist the temptations of this world.
Very true. And I think the other point that I was thinking about along this realm of diet and the things that we eat, today there's a lot of these energy drinks. And yeah. they really get you, they're really working on chemicals instead of nutrition.
That's right.
And all of this stuff affects our thinking. And, it's amazing the things that we can find here in Scripture. So, and I really believe that when he says here, like we read there in verse, what verse was that? There are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And then where did you stop reading, Rick?
I think I stopped with verse 5.
Verse 5. No, we read the...
So the next verse should be verse 6.
We did. We read 6 and 7. And verse 8, that was the one I was looking for, where the angel... It says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel. Unfortunately, if we're not preaching exactly what Scripture is saying, we're preaching another gospel. If we're preaching more than one true God, we're preaching another gospel.
That's true.
If we're teaching what that magazine that you mentioned at the outset of this program teaches, that Christ raised himself, we're preaching another gospel.
Yeah, because right? It's not true.
It's not true.
You know, I just looked up really quick. I made a reference to Daniel 3 and 4. It's actually in Daniel 1 that talks about good food and diet and drink.
Oh, so that's Daniel, is that where 1. The Hebrews were right. Tempted with the delicacies of the king?
Yeah, I invite our listeners just to read through that, Daniel chapter 1. It's really interesting.
Yes, it is. Yeah, because Daniel 3 goes into the image of Nebuchadnezzar.
Right,
that's right.
Right.
I see that. But let's continue on here. Any other thoughts on, we read through verse 8?
Verse 8, that's right.
So any other thoughts there before we move on to 9?
I don't think so. You want to read 9?
Yes, it says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For I do now persuade men, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ.
Stop. Yeah. Stop right there. Mark, how many times have we talked about pleasing things to men? Hmm. And that denominations, churches today are just preaching a gospel of peace and love and... Those things are good. We need
sure.
to preach those things.
Absolutely, we do.
But do we preach a gospel that says we need to be responsible also? That we need to live the way God wants us to live? Follow his commandments and his teachings?
Yeah, that's right. We should.
Think about it, folks. No matter where you are in the spectrum of society, young, old, rich, poor, liberal, conservative, it doesn't matter. If every one of us decided we were going to follow God's commandments... and treat each other with love and respect at the same time, this world would be a different place.
Amen.
Period.
It would.
Okay, I'm not saying that we can do away with all the sinfulness on the world and in the earth that we see in society today. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying if everyone relied on time to time, when they have temptations, when they get this bug in their ear, they're going to say something mean or do something mean. I'm not just speaking to you out there. It's myself.
Sure.
If I can just learn to rely on God to do away with those things in my life, if everybody said that, what kind of world would we have?
Isn't that true? If you just take a couple of the commandments, let's just take a couple of them.
Okay.
Let's just take the one about stealing.
Okay.
You shall not steal.
I would think most everybody listening to our voices believes that it's wrong to take something that isn't theirs.
Yes, I would think so.
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty easy one, and I would think that the majority of the people listening probably wouldn't steal anything either. I really think that thieves are not, while they wreak a lot of havoc, I don't think that everyone, I would probably tend to trust most of my neighbors in my neighborhood.
Yeah, me too.
We have a relationship. In fact, if you go to my house right now, and my riding mower is underneath my deck out back with the key in it. Anybody could take it anytime they wanted.
Wow.
And I don't worry about it.
That just went out on the national airwaves.
That's
you know
okay.
That?
That's okay. But they have to find my house first.
That's true.
Anyway, the point that I'm making is, if everyone kept that commandment to not steal, you would not need locks on your doors and worry about people stealing. I wouldn't have to. We wouldn't have a key. I wouldn't have to put a key in my mower.
Put your brother out of business. His brother is a locksmith.
That's right. But think about all of the things. You know, you wouldn't have to have bars on banks and things like this.
That's true.
Just that one little thing. Alarm systems on cars.
If you walked up and said something to someone about, I'll pay you back, or if you give me a loan, I'll pay you back.
There you go.
It would be guaranteed automatically by your word.
What about murdering? What would we have to fear? I wouldn't have to worry about being mugged, right?
That's right.
I don't have to worry about being killed if I'm in a big city.
That's right.
We took care of a lot of crime with just two commandments.
Wow, that is amazing.
It's tremendous if you just apply those things. Of course, unfortunately, many people won't, but in God's kingdom, all of these things will be in full effect. There won't be murderers. There won't be robbers. There won't be adulterers.
You know, the people that choose to do those things won't be happy in God's kingdom.
Isn't that true?
Their character will not fit in.
So this verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? I think we all want to be liked. I don't want to not be liked.
That's true.
But I don't change God's message for the sake of saying, well, you know, we'd like more people to sit in the pews at church. We'd like to have more people come to our Bible study. We'd like to have more people listening to our radio program. So do we change the gospel? Do we preach another gospel? Do we please men?
I think this is exactly what Paul is trying to say right here.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, on my Bible program here on my computer, I have several different versions of the Bible I can click on. Here's what this verse says in the Message Bible. Now,
okay.
I don't recommend that you use a paraphrase Bible or anything like that to read or study from as a general rule. But sometimes it's good because it gives us a modern understanding, a kind of in our own vernacular.
Yeah, sometimes it broadens our understanding a little bit.
So here's verse 10. It says, do you think I speak this strongly in order to manipulate crowds or to curry favor with God or to get popular applause? If my goal was popularity, I wouldn't bother being Christ's slave.
Oh, wow. That's very well put, isn't it?
It is.
Well, let's talk about this, being a slave to Christ. You know, to a person that has never studied the Bible, they might look at our lifestyle and think, well, you guys don't go to the bars and you don't carry on like I do and you don't go to the same kind of movies I do.
They
Your
would
life's
say,
really
you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do that.
Ah.
The deal is, it's not that I can't. It's that I choose not to.
There you go.
That I have a beautiful Savior who laid down his life willingly for me and paid the price for my sins so that I can be in God's kingdom. Mm. Why would I not think about doing everything he wants me to do? And he even says that his commandments are not grievous.
That's
is
right,
what he
or
says.
Burdensome is what They're, mine says.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, they help us live a better life.
That's true.
So doesn't it make sense for me to follow Jesus in a way that, yes, some people could say it enslaves my life, but I think it enslaves it in a great way.
I don't consider it, you know, I don't know, to me enslaving almost sounds harsh.
I know, it has a negative connotation,
it does.
Really does.
Because for me, you know, when I think of where my life is now versus where it was 25 years ago, when I wasn't living the way I'm living today, and I honestly, you know, if you would have asked me at that time, are you happy? I would have said, oh yeah, I'm having a time of my life.
Oh yeah.
I'm having a great time. But I am so much more happy now than I've ever been in my entire life, in spite of some of the difficulties that I have.
I can say the same thing. And you know, there's a peace that comes from living that lifestyle because, you know, the most powerful force in the universe, God's creative power, Him Himself, you're on His side now.
Yeah, that's right. How can you go wrong?
How can you go wrong? And there's a text that says that in the Bible. It says, if God be with us, Who can be against us?
That's right. Right. Can you look that up real quick, okay, if you don't mind? Because I always, whenever we make a quote like that, I always love to be able to show it. If God is with us, who could be against us? Is that in Romans, I'm guessing?
There's a lot of hits when I look up that phrase.
Okay, so.
Yeah, it's in Romans 8:31.
Okay. All right, boy, that was a good guess.
Yeah, I know it was in the New Testament somewhere there.
Where is that? Romans 8, what did you say?
8:31.
Okay, go ahead.
We probably need to read before, but I'm just going to read this text. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32 is great. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Wow.
That's really striking, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
I mean, if God gave us his own son and sacrificed his own son for us, he's going to give us everything else we need for this life and life to come.
That's it. So I really have to say, look, friends, I'm going to be completely honest with you. When I first decided that I wanted to give my life to God, there were some things that I had to give up in my life that were difficult, and I really did not want to give up.
Yeah, no kidding.
So it seemed restrictive. It did.
Yeah.
Especially at first.
The devil pushes us to that point where we think it's restrictive.
That's right. But, you know, once you have gotten to the point to where your lifestyle has changed, you have laid down those sins that you were actually enslaved to the sins instead of them being captured and removed. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about bad habits.
Yes, whatever that is.
You know, getting caught up in lies that you think are for your betterment,
right,
but they're really not.
That's true.
If you just tell the truth, man, things go so much smoother. It might be difficult to tell the truth.
Sure.
But, you know, it's better for everybody involved.
Yeah. You know, we can look at somebody in the Bible who, it was very difficult when they came to Peter and they said, "Do you know this man?" And he said, "I don't know him." He was talking about Jesus. He didn't know him.
That's when Peter denied Jesus three times.
He denied him.
Right before Jesus' crucifixion, right?
Yeah. It would have been much better for him at the outset just to go ahead and admit it, I think.
I agree. We don't know what would have happened, it would have been interesting, huh?
Yeah, but we learn from those mistakes. When we read those accounts in the Bible, we can learn from that. You know, because there might be a time that somebody comes up to us, Rick, and says, "Are you a Christian? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" Well, yes, I do. And you think they might take your head off for that. That happens in some countries.
That's right.
But, you know, the hope that we have, we're not enslaved to anything that Christ asks us to do.
I agree. You know, there's a text that says that we should not fear anyone who can kill the body.
Right. I believe that's in Matthew, and I'll let you look that up because I was looking up another text that we were studying this past Sabbath in Sabbath school. We weren't actually studying it. I just happened to mention it. You find that one. And I'm going to try to find this other text. Did you find that?
Well, there's one in Matthew and one in Luke. The one in Luke says, it's chapter 12, verse 4. Luke 12:4 says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do to you."
Hmm.
Because after that, Mark, you're in God's hands.
That's it.
He's going to raise you up.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically says the same thing in Matthew. It must be the same account from Matthew and from Luke. They're recording the same thing, just with a few different words. Matthew 10:28 says, "Fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell."
Okay, that might need a little explanation.
Yeah, you and I have talked about the first and second death, right?
Yes.
This goes right into that.
That's right.
Where we firmly believe and can prove right from Scripture that at some point, every human being that has ever lived is going to come before God's judgment seat.
That's okay? Right.
That's pretty clear in Scripture. Those are... Everyone's going to be raised up either to everlasting life,
mm-hmm,
or to everlasting destruction.
Yes.
Now, that's what we mean by everlasting destruction is that they're not going to burn forever. The Bible does not reveal that. They will be consumed because they would rather hold on to their sinful habits than do what God says.
Yes. The Bible indicates that they will be burned, but they'll be burned up. They won't be burned for eternity in conscious awareness. They'll be burned until they're consumed, like you said.
So Matthew's trying to tell us that we shouldn't be putting a bunch of fear into what people can do to this body that we have now, the way that we're living right now, because God, you know, he gave us life to begin with. Mm-hmm. He can give us life again,
absolutely,
which he's promised in the scripture.
Yes, he has.
I mean, it's just that simple.
If we're faithful, that's the promise we have.
Right.
So along with the same thought where we were talking about being a bondservant to Christ, you know, we're talking about being, it seems like the word bondservant mine uses. Does yours use that same word?
It doesn't say bond. It's just a servant of Christ.
Okay. So I think about Matthew chapter 11, and this is Jesus speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to back up just a little bit because I really appreciate this. In verse 28, he says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father." So even Christ makes it clear who he is. "And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him." Then verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Hmm.
So what exactly is this yoke we're talking about? What is a yoke in the Old Testament?
A yoke, well, it doesn't
even
go
on. Now.
Even now, people use yoke. It's for putting two either horses together or cattle or oxen to do a job together.
Yes.
So that they can be put together so both of their strength is working on the load.
Right. Now, if you have one that's just dragging his feet, what happens to the other one? It pulls him down too.
Yeah, that's true.
Usually. I mean, he's got to work twice as hard, but if the one just says, "I'm laying down," the other one's not going anywhere.
So they both have to do some work. Sometimes one is stronger than the other.
Sure, but usually they work it out.
Yes.
And this is what Jesus is saying here. He says, look, if you take my yoke, he says, "I'm gentle and I'm low," and he says, "for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You don't think of rest when you put a yoke on you. But when he says, "my burden is light," in other words, he's going to help you carry that load.
That's right. We've got Jesus yoked with us.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're not saying
that life is going to be all peaches.
No, it's not. We still have issues. You know, I was having a bad day before I came in here. My phone kept ringing.
We all have issues. What it's trying to say is we're searching for something as human beings.
Yeah.
And what we're searching for is what Adam and Eve lost for us in the garden, and that is a relationship where God encourages every thought, every deed to be something that he can smile on.
Yes.
That is beneficial to everybody around us and beneficial to us. Can we imagine that? It's pretty difficult sometimes.
It is.
But that's what God really wants for us. And he's given his Son to be able to encourage us every moment of the day.
Sure.
We can have Christ with us in a spiritual sense every moment of every day.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 1:27 talks about Christ in us, and that's our hope of God's glory.
That's the Spirit that God promises.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yep. The spiritual manifestation of Christ Jesus himself.
Mm.
That's the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So, you know, I just see these continued themes. Wherever we go in Scripture, it reveals God's character to us. It reveals that he wants us to come back to a relationship with him. And that's what the human race is really wanting. We search for it in all kinds of different places.
That's true.
We search for it in food, in drink, in entertainment, in things,
right,
in money,
yeah,
in relationships. We search for that everywhere.
Even in our jobs.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? I think we can just pick up where we left off. You know, the point that we're making, friends, is when we're talking about being a servant of Christ, or as the New King James put it, a bondservant of Christ. This is not a burden. It may seem that way when you first want to serve God and His Son. It may seem that way because you do have to put off things. You know, if I want to be a part of a particular club, whether it's, let's suppose there's a country club down the road and I wanted to be a part of that, I couldn't go in there dressed in my blue jeans with holes in them and my sneakers. There's something that I have to do in order to be acceptable. I have to clean myself up a little bit.
A tank top, muscle shirt.
Yeah,
right?
You wouldn't want to see me in a muscle shirt. I'm so pasty white, it just it'd scare everybody.
Oh, wow.
So I think I glow in the dark.
And let me assure you, friends, you won't see that on Prophecies of Hope website.
Amen. You won't. Yeah, we can thank God for that. But no, the point is that you might be comfortable in those old dirty jeans and your sneakers and your
tank
top, right?
Those are usually comfortable clothes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I work. That's how I work in the yard. I have a shirt that I call the Get Her Done shirt. You know, I go outside to get my work done, and the sleeves are cut off. And
yeah.
But the thing is, I couldn't walk into a country club that way. And it might be difficult for me to say, well, you know, I don't like dressing up. I don't like putting on nice clothes. I'm comfortable where I am. But when you do that, they will accept you into that club. So if I put off the things that keep me from having a relationship with God, if I'm willing to give up my dirty shoes, which is a bad habit,
mm-hmm.
then God will say, you know what? I can meet you. We can have a relationship. I can start to work with you.
And you know, He doesn't just leave us to get rid of those things on our own.
That's right.
He says, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of my Son, mm-hmm. if you just pray about these things, I will make sure Jesus is going to encourage you all day long.
Amen. And that's the thing. You sense that once you start to make those changes.
I completely agree.
You recognize it. So let's pick up here in verse 11. Paul again speaking, Galatians 1, verse 11. It says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man.
Mm.
For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
It just goes back to what I was saying. Remember, it's the Spirit of Christ Jesus that was helping Paul in all of his ministry.
That's right.
Helping him with his character, his interaction with other people. It's the Spirit of God's Son in his heart.
I think this is very important because if you know anything at all about the book, about the Bible and about Paul, who was once Saul, not to be mistaken with King Saul, but he actually was, like we said at the outset of this program, he was killing Christians. And he was watching them being killed as well. And then he had a encounter with Christ. Now, Christ was already resurrected back in heaven, but he had an encounter with him, didn't he?
He did.
And this changed his life completely.
Yes.
And he recognizes, by the time he's writing these letters to these other churches, he recognizes fully, hey, you know what? Guess what? You can have Christ in you.
That's right.
He can change you. He can help you lay down all these. He was a murderer, Paul was.
Yes.
And he gave it up because he allowed Christ to work within him.
That's amazing.
It really is. And I know if you've never experienced this, for any of you who may be listening and saying, oh, it's just a fallacy, it's not. It's not. Say a prayer. Ask God to send the Spirit of His Son into your heart and see what happens. Ask Him.
Ask Him in the context of what you're struggling with.
Yeah.
The Bible teaches us that we overcome the world by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony, Revelation says.
That's right.
What does that mean? It means the work that God has done in your heart through Christ Jesus is a powerful testimony and helps us and encourages us to keep overcoming all the things in the world.
Amen. Yeah, it's really beautiful. And for those of you who are Christians that are listening to this, I'm sure you get it.
That's true.
I'm sure you've had something in your life that has made you accept Christ and be where you are. And for those of you who have never done it, I just encourage you to try it. Talk to someone who has.
you know, Paul goes right into the fact that he was persecuting people in the next text.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Mm. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
Mm.
Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abide with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, except for James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Mark, what's he trying to say? He's saying he was persecuting God's church, persecuting the Christians, but he didn't, after Jesus Christ was revealed in him, okay?
That's what he said.
He didn't confer with any other Christians.
Right.
He just went and studied the scripture and prayed about these things,
mm-hmm.
and came to a conclusion that God was calling him to preach to the Gentiles. That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the thing is, I love what he says here, because he's basically reiterating what he said earlier. He says, when it pleased God who wrong verse. Let me back up to verse 14. It says, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries. In other words, he really understood, and he was an advanced man in my own nation. He says, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers.
Yep, that's what it says.
You know, I'm guilty of this very passage, what he said. I am guilty of that before I really started studying the Bible. I exceeded very well where I was, but I was following the traditions that I had been taught all of my life.
Hmm.
And when I recognized that, I had a moment where I had to leave. It was very difficult, but you've heard me talk about this many times, Rick, where my family cut me off and said, we're not going to talk
with
you anymore.
That's right.
You know, Paul went through much more than I've ever had to go through.
Mm.
But look at how he's been used by God.
Absolutely. And, you know, 20 centuries later.
Yeah, that's right.
He's still preaching by his writings,
exactly,
isn't he?
Right. We're reading it right now.
So the end of the chapter, verse 21, says, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. What I take from that is that they were praising God, that this person that had persecuted them and was putting their brothers to death,
that's right,
is now preaching the same truth that they are preaching. And that's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
So you see how Christ changed Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
From this tradition-keeping murderer, right?
Yeah.
Persecuting people, to someone who actually has Christ in him.
That's right.
Friends, this is a good lesson. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world today. We've only got about 2 minutes left, but I want to just say this. There are a lot of things that are happening in the world today. People are making decisions and calling people names because of a few that are doing some very bad things.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about in the nation of Islam.
Okay.
Okay. There are a lot of people, and we write them off. Look, these people need Christ as much as you and I need.
You're talking
Christ.
About Muslims, people that don't believe in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
They need to be, more than anybody else, they need Christ Jesus in their life.
Sure. Anybody who doesn't have Christ needs him. Okay?
That's right.
And if these people, if it happened to Paul, it can happen to them. But someone has to preach. Someone has to be willing to preach it.
That's true.
And so the more we learn these things, the more that we should recognize that we don't condone what they do whatsoever, but we should show them the same love that Christ showed them. As far as Christ went after Paul, didn't he?
That's right.
So we should try to help these people as much as possible, as much as we possibly
can. That's a great lesson.
So I guess we can pick this up in this chapter next week. I can't believe an hour has gone by already.
Well, we went through all of Galatians chapter 1.
Yeah, that was very good.
And it was.
Next week, I don't think Rick will be here by next week, but when 2 weeks we'll pick it up here. Next week we'll have a sermon on the air. But before we sign off, let's just have a quick prayer.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all of the things that you have done for us, for the sacrifices mm-hmm. that you've made in giving your Son so that we could have eternal life and so that we could have the indwelling Christ. We thank you also for the resurrection of Christ, because without that, we couldn't have the indwelling Christ. Mm-hmm. There will be no resurrection for us as well, and we ask that you will be with us until we come together again. Please be with the listeners that they can take these things into their minds and hearts and think about them, that they will open the scriptures and see what you have to say directly from your word. Father, we ask for forgiveness and we pray that you will be with us until we come together again. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So friends, we want to thank you for tuning in. And once again, until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.